Welcome and good morning, Dr. Dara Lupton. How are you?
I'm very well, Myra. Nice to chat with you.
Thank you very much for coming on this morning. We're delighted to have you here. I'm so excited to hear so much about the National Botanic Gardens. I'm not too sure where to start, but actually, could you give me a little bit of your background on your own career and how you became the creator of the National Botanic Gardens at Llansannevan?
Sure, Myra. My career working with plants began in the mid-90s. I originally had studied horticulture here at the gardens. I was a Chagosk student for 3 years between 1995 and 1998. In that time, I had my sandwich year, so to speak.
Okay.
I spent a year at the Royal Horticultural Society's gardens at Wisley in the UK. So that's where my initial training started. I then went on to study botany at Trinity College. I had a great interest in the naming of plants and the science of plant cultivation and plant naming. So I went on to Trinity, where I did a four-year degree, and then I stayed on there and did postgraduate research. And then came back full circle to Glasnevin, where I spent 3 years working as a research scientist in the gardens, working on various things relating to the Irish flora and the conservation of Irish plants. And then jumping in late 2010, early 2011, I took up a job in Oman, the Sultanate of Oman in Arabia, where they are developing a very large and highly ambitious botanic garden. So I spent 10 years with my family living in Oman, working on the gardens. I was head of the Department of Botany there, which was very, very exciting and a wonderful, incredible opportunity. I left Oman in February of this year and came back and took up my current position as curator of the National Botanic Gardens here at Glasnevin.
Well, that's been a very
exciting... So that's the full circle.
Full circle. And what a wonderful, wonderful career. Now, the Botanic Gardens, a short history. How old is the National Botanic Gardens?
Well, the gardens first was developed and opened and started, I should say, in 1795. So it's 226 years old, I guess.
And
initially, it was called the Royal Botanic Gardens. It was the second major gardens of the British Empire, I guess, Kew Gardens in London being the first. The garden was initially opened and developed for more utilitarian needs. It was focused largely on agricultural research and so, and that type of thing. The gardens was also much smaller at that time, probably half the size of what it is now. Currently, it's just under 50 acres. The gardens then quickly developed and broadened its remit and also its physical size. Particularly, there was a major shift and boom in the 1830s, where the gardens collections moved, not entirely, but somewhat from agriculture into more horticultural and botanical interests. And this largely was tied in with the expansion of the British Empire, the expansion of plant collecting during this sort of feverish time during the Victorian period, where people were collecting and bringing back plants from all over the world. So the garden really, in its current format, in terms of its varied plant collections, kicked off in the 1830s. It then followed a long period of great development in terms of the large glass houses were built here, the curvilinear range, the great palm house, the cactus house, and so on. These fantastic houses, great feats of engineering in their time, all were built around that at this period from the 1840s until the 1860s. Those houses are still standing. The curvilinear range and the palm house underwent major restoration in the 1990s, and anybody who has come here will certainly know they're a major feature of the landscape. So the gardens has been around for a very, very long time. Its function and remit has varied, and this is reflected in many botanic gardens around the world. They're continually adapting to environmental and cultural needs. The gardens nowadays is, of course, a very, very important visitor attraction. We have vast numbers of people coming through our gates each year, in excess of 600,000 people.
Oh,
come
wow.
Through the gates to enjoy the plant collections, to enjoy the facilities we have here, the respite in the middle of the city. It's quite unusual to have such a large space in the middle of an urban area. The garden is also very much involved in horticultural pursuits, horticultural research, developing new displays, new plant collections. Horticulture is also very much part of the conservation programs we have here at the garden. Conservation is largely managed by the scientific staff, but we would see here, or we certainly try to promote the idea that science, botanical science and horticulture are both highly compatible, and one really relies on the other. So we're doing a lot of major research here on plant conservation in Ireland and overseas. We're very keen to promote environmental education here at the gardens too. So we see our own guide staff here who are involved on a daily basis on tours, on imparting information to visitors about the importance of conservation, about the critical role that plants play in all of our lives in terms of the air we breathe, climate change, food, shelter, and so on. So the gardens has been very significant in its entire history. Its remit and role has changed and is continually adapting, and we see this as being a very, very important role and function of the gardens, that we are able to adapt and change and provide information for people going forward.
Well, I have to say, Dara, I do go over to the Botanic Gardens quite a bit. I really do. And one of my favourite little places, and it's just so lovely, is the Wall Garden. And I know it's been there, I'm sure, for a very long time, but I think it's only opened in a couple of years, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's been open for quite a few years. I mean, it has shifted and changed in its shape and design over the decades, but it has been open. I can't give you the exact date
when
it opened, but it has been open for quite some time. It has been closed, you know, for the last year or so during COVID because of the narrow pathways, and that we just felt it wasn't particularly wise to have people congregating in there. Which, you're right, it is a stunning place, full of an abundance of food and plant life, and of course the associated wildlife that comes with that. So it's a very, very popular place for people to visit and take some respite.
Well, I couldn't get over the amount of apple trees, the different apple trees that are growing there. And I didn't know, in my complete ignorance, I thought an apple was an apple, but there's so many varieties that you have. And right in the centre, you have these plants. Oh, my goodness. They look like something out of space. Is it artichokes or something? It's
yes,
huge.
Yes.
Massive.
With a tall plant with a purple flower.
Absolutely, but I mean the amount of variety and so forth. But I also have to tell our listeners that it is free to walk around, and you can't bring dogs or your bike or anything like that. You have to be respectful, of course, but it is free to walk around. Do you have a favourite part, or is it just continuously developing the whole time?
Well, you've got 12 months here, so the seasons change and you have various places that look different and may look better at certain times of the year. So I wouldn't say I have a singular favourite place. It would depend on the time of year. Certainly the woodland area down towards the Rose Garden in the spring is particularly beautiful, very shaded, lots of lush green plants emerging. The Alpine Yard, again, in the height of the summer, is a real sun trap. It's very, very warm, very quiet, lots of beautiful diminutive plants growing there. So there are many places that are very, very attractive, depending on the time of year.
Now, can I just ask you, what exactly, when you say botanic, what is a botanic garden?
Okay, well, botanic garden is a good question. Botanic garden is technically a space where there is a large collection of labelled and documented plants. So if you visit a normal a park, for example, you will have a large collection of plants. Very often, these plants are typically not labelled. There isn't a great documentation of the plants. Botanic gardens would always strive to have wild collected plants. So we would rather than typically purchasing plants from nurseries and so on. Where we can, we would like to have material that has been collected in the wild. We would like to know where the plant has come from, the full and correct name. Maybe there's a threat of that plant in the wild. So all of this information, it's a scientific collection of plants as opposed to just a park-type setting. And this is why we have to take great care and attention when we're bringing plants into the garden, that we fully understand where the plant has come from, and so on. I mean, that also is very important to know from a horticultural perspective. If a plant is coming from a desert region, you know, you need to have the plant growing in a warm condition, in a sandy type soil. If it's growing from high altitude areas, again, you need to provide the environment where that plant will flourish. So botanic gardens are also very unique in the sense that they do a number of things. One is, as I've mentioned already, research. So the research facilities in the garden include, we have here what they call a herbarium. And in the herbarium, we have almost 750,000 dried specimens that have been collected over the last couple of hundred years. And these are dried specimens that have been collected in the field and documented. So, for example, we can go into the herbarium and look at the Irish native plant collection in the herbarium, of which there were many, many thousands of individual specimens. But we can look at plants that were collected in the 1840s. We know that a plant was collected in, let's say, in Leixlip in 1842, and we can document how that plant has changed, how the environment has changed around that plant. We can see if the plant has increased in size and so on. So that those plants that were collected a long time ago are proving to be a very, very useful tool in conservation, in current conservation.
I have to say, you have actually stunned me. So many areas to the research and conservation. It's extraordinary. And do you still send, are people still, do you send people out around the world, or you have huge contacts around the world that people can still collect stuff? And also Irish plants as well. I'm a little bit stunned about this now, because this is much bigger than when I just walk around and enjoy all the everything that's there and the different aspects. But yeah, this research is—it just seems to be gigantic.
Well, it's so basically, when you come into the garden, you are, as a visitor, you're enjoying the green space. That's the first immediate level. But like you say, there behind the scenes, there is a vast amount of work going on. So go back to your first question in terms of, do we send people out collecting around the world, or do we link with other botanic gardens? Well, yes, we do. There are somewhere in the region of at least 2,500 botanic gardens around the world. And the botanic garden gardens form a pretty tight-knit, well-connected community. So from that point of view, we are in touch with botanic gardens all over the world. And sometimes we would send people over for training to different botanic gardens, or people would come here for training. We would also swap plant material. There's an entire system, a well-established system of seed exchange between botanic gardens. So if we're particularly interested in collecting a plant or growing a plant from the Mediterranean, we can contact botanic gardens there. They can provide seed for us. And likewise, if we have material here that a garden's maybe somewhere in Denmark is interested in growing, they can check our seed catalogue and we can provide that seed for them. So that's a free service that's organised and arranged between botanic gardens globally. In terms of collecting plants, yes, we have, from our Irish flora point of view, we're in the middle of developing the Irish flora seed bank. And that means that we want to try and collect all of the flowering plants in Ireland as seed and collect them in large quantities and store them in the seed bank within the gardens. This is a very useful tool for conservation in the future. You know, we know many plants are being lost, particularly those that are fragile or in small numbers. Road construction, development and so on can certainly have a negative impact. So if we have a source of seed collected and saved, and if something goes extinct in the wild, then at least potentially we have a way of rehabilitating that population using our seed collections. And internationally, we've had various projects over the years where plants have been collected and shown, and them are displayed in the gardens. I can think, for one example, would be the Belize in Central America. We had a very strong link with Belize over the years, and many, many plants, particularly from the family of the orchid family, were collected in the wild and grown here at Glasnevin and displayed here at the gardens. So this is something we're always trying to develop. It's very important for us that we maintain international links, that we keep our collections relevant, and that our collections are actually inputting significantly into international plant conservation.
I'm just thinking, Dara, that it's a massive responsibility that you have as the curator. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. I know that you have a section. It looks like the burren.
Yeah.
And you, is that very important as well, the burren?
Yes. I mean, the burren in terms of within Ireland and internationally is a very unique habitat where plants, because of the local conditions, soil conditions and climatic conditions, you have plants growing from the Mediterranean and the high Arctic growing very close together. So it's a botanical oddity. And one of the things that we are very keen here to do, because we have collections from all around the world, you know, from the tropics to the arid regions of the world, we're very keen to ensure that a section of the garden dealt with the Irish flora, of which there are about 900 species. So in the native section, you have burren limestone, these limestone pavements that you find in the burren. This was recreated many years ago in the gardens to show visitors at least a snapshot of what can be found in the burren. Now, the native area also will include a small area of coastal planting, burren grasslands. We're now currently in the middle of developing a wetland area where we'll show plants and habitats from the bogs of the Midlands and some of the limestone areas of central and western Ireland. So again, it's a very important thing that we're not trying to recreate these spaces, but we're just trying to broaden people's awareness and let them know that Ireland, a small island on the western fringe of Europe, has some very, very important and unique habitats and plants. And it's very important for us to showcase that here. It's part of our responsibility.
And also, Dara, the National Botanic Gardens, of course, is in Glasnevin. But do you have other gardens that you take care of or are connected with as well in Ireland?
Yeah, we have the National Botanic Gardens comprises of the gardens here at Glasnevin and also of Kilmacurra Botanic Gardens in County Wicklow. And I urge anyone who hasn't been, it's only an hour from here, from Dublin, to take a trip down. It is a wonderful location with wonderful plant collections. The head gardener there, Seamus O'Brien, has done an incredible job in putting together a really wonderful collection of plants. And Seamus is a very active plant collector. Going back to your idea, do people still go to these exotic places and collect? Well, Seamus most certainly does, and he has brought back plants from many, many exotic and far-reaching places of the world in northern India, Tasmania, and so on. So many of the plants that he has there, and like we have here at Glasnevin, have actually been collected by hand in the field as seed, documented, recorded, databased, and so on. And those collections are now living in the gardens for people to see.
Oh my goodness.
I should say that the other place that we manage is the John F. Kennedy Arboretum down just close to New Ross in County Wexford. So this is a much bigger site. This is a site just over 600 acres. And an arboretum is, a scientific collection of trees. So they focus very largely on trees as opposed to shrubs and grasses and so on. But that collection is something that we have taken over, and with the team down there, we are revamping that in terms of the plant information, the visitor experience, and so on. So again, we have three sites that we're managing. We also have St. Enda's Park in Dublin that is also under our remit. So there are four gardens really under our management.
I think that's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, I love all plants, but I also love trees. So I'm going to get myself. I will actually have my family come from around County Wexford, but I'm going to make it my business to get down there when I can. But can I ask you something about the trees? Do you have trees from North America? I'm just thinking of redwood or something like that. Would you possibly have something like that in Glasnevin?
Yes, we do. We have myrtle in the gardens. Some very, very old specimens. So I would just urge you to come and see. They will be labelled. If you go to the desk as you come into the gardens, you can just ask the guides there to point you in the direction of the redwoods. And they quite easily do that for you. So you can go and see the living tree and enjoy that experience. They are very staggering, giant specimens, so you will enjoy that.
Oh my goodness. I mean, you've explained about what the role of the Botanic Gardens in plant conservation and education and the community, which I assume that schools can go and have special tours, and particularly children and teenagers, education is very, very important. But the horticulture, can you just tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, so horticulture, I guess, is actually the absolute core of the garden. Growing of plants is what we do here, growing and displaying of plants. Going back to what a botanic garden is, rather than being just a park, we are very much about collections of plants. So from a horticultural point of view, if we were growing, let's say, a dahlia, we are interested in growing as many cultivars as is possible in terms of the space that we have, so that the visitor will see the full range of dahlias, or let's say daffodils or irises and so on. So we will have huge collections of containing a huge amount of variety, and all of those collections will be labelled, all of those collections will be on our database. So the horticultural team are continually bringing in new material, continually trying to grow new stock. The other thing that we have here, which is very important nationally, is we have a lot of Irish cultivars. So these are Irish plants and trees and so on that have been bred in Irish nurseries or here at Glasnevin. So again, that's something people don't often know about, that many nurseries in Ireland have produced varieties of trees and shrubs and so on. But we have those on display here at the garden as well.
Dara, our time is nearly run up and I'm absolutely stunned, absolutely stunned. Can I ask you to come back? Can I invite you back maybe in about 2 months, or actually maybe a little bit later, because I'd like to talk about what you do for Halloween and the pumpkins and what children can do enter, if that's okay. And I just want to say from Near FM 90.3 and the Lifeline program, I've been absolutely thrilled that you came on this morning, and it's been wonderful. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of your day, and what a career.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thanks for giving me the time.
No, not at all. Many, many thanks, Dara. Bye now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
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 See you.